We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life.
So today is the birth of a new baby, Life Church. The journey started about 14 months ago. So you'll get to hear me preach about 15 minutes at the end. I'll share a little sermon with you because I know everybody just loves to hear pastors and want to hear me preach the word. So really, three of you. Great. Well, I'll dismiss everybody and let the three stay. No. The journey started about 14 months ago. And we were serving, Maria and I were serving as the associate pastors at First Assembly. And you met Pastor Brian, the senior pastor at First Assembly. And there was a church here in this area that really had run its course. Some of you say, well, do churches run their courses? Pastor Bob, sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they can continue on. But this church had run its course. And in the process, our pastor, Pastor Bob and Pastor Brian and others came and said to our team, would you be willing to take responsibility for the spiritual climate and spiritual health of that community? Absolutely. Why would you not? Why would you not want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, I didn't know what that meant at the time. So I thought it was like, yeah, we'll go down and we'll pray and, you know, like the old day, pass out some tracts, right? You guys know about passing out tracts? I mean, you know what that is. That's okay. Ask somebody later. They'll tell you what it's all about. We'll date ourselves on that one. So we begin to pray. God, what do you want us to do? And as that church closed its doors, it was sad to see it happen. But sometimes things have to end so other things can begin to grow. And so we prayed and said, Lord, what do you want us to do? And he told Pastor Brian, God spoke to his heart and said, you need to plant a church. Now, I heard someone say in the last week, aren't there enough churches? Aren't there enough churches starting? There's never enough churches because the church is not the building, right? The church is not the building. That's just the place where you, the people who are the church, see, God's word tells us that we are the body of Christ. We are the church. The building is a place where we just come together and we meet. And we fellowship, we worship like we did today. Thank you, worship ministry. You guys did a great job leading us in worship today. But that's just a building. If there's nobody there, then it's just a building with no lights on, right? Now, some of you say, well, my church now, that's a sacred place. Oh, it is. Yeah, absolutely. God's presence shows up there when his people gather together. So there can never be enough churches. There should be a church on every corner of every town across America. Because every single person needs to be part of a fellowship where they can grow together in Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian, is we're growing together in Christ. Our theme for this year in Life Church is called Growing Together. So Pastor Brian filled his heart, look, we're going to plant a church. We went to our district, we sat down and talked to them and prayed and said, okay, well, who's going to be the pastor of that church, you know? I'm thinking, hey, what dummy's going to do that? Yeah, who's going to go down there and take on that challenge, right? We had a lot of great ideas, but none of them really came to fruition. And Pastor Brian walked in the office and said, hey, Shannon, I got to tell you, I've been praying. He said, and fasting, and so your name just came to my heart. For what? I said, to be the pastor of this new church. No, I'm a worship leader. I like to scream on the guitar and sing, not lead a church. He goes, no, I want you to pray about it. And we did. Maria and I, we prayed and we fasted. We went to our denomination's training for church planners. And when I walked away from that, it was very clear. This is what God wanted us to do. And I want you to know, I stand before you humbled. Can't do it on my own. I won't do it on my own. Because we're going to come together. We're going to grow together. He's asked me, the Holy Spirit has placed upon me the mantle and anointing to be the pastor of this church, and I will. And I want you to know that that comes with a great accountability. This is not a fly-by-night church. We just didn't show up one day and say, hey, guess what? Let's just go start a church because I need some more income. No, pastors don't make a lot of money. Matter of fact, we're having another offering at the end. No, I'm just joking. Come on, Pastor Steve said, I'm giving. Yes, sir.
Good deal.
But that's what God has called us to do. And we're not going to do it on our own. We're going to partner together. And with that mantle of responsibility, I want you to know that your pastor, Life Church, has an accountability. And I want to recognize that right now, because we are the daughter church of First Assembly. We are covered by the accountability of Pastor Brian, that board, those elders and deacons. They cover us with accountability. So that your pastor doesn't go out and start doing something crazy. They're going to come back and yank him back a little bit and say, hey, what's going on there? Let's keep this thing biblical here. And not only that, Pastor Bob is here with us today. He's our network pastor. He's going to come up at the end of our service today and just pray over what's happening in this town and pray over this church. So we have accountability with our network of the Assemblies of God. Yes, we are an Assemblies of God church. So we have that accountability. Not only that, I have a personal accountability. See, I believe in accountability. Because, see, I was in the Air Force on active duty for a long time, and I know what accountability means, Pastor Steve. I have my spiritual father who is here. He flew in from Mississippi. This man here will call me and say, son, how you doing? Are you okay? How's the church going? How your family? Son, how you treating your wife? How you treating your kids? How you spending time in God's Word? There's an accountability that's right there. Now, I'm still in the Air Force. I'm part of the Air National Guard. I serve with the Chaplain's Corps. And I want you to know that there's even an accountability there. Because we have a wing chaplain. And he and I ride to work on the weekends there and back. He talks 80% of the time. I talk 20. Pastor Steve is here. Wave at him, Pastor Steve. He's our wing chaplain at the 104th Fighter Wing. He said, I'll be there for you, Shannon. Now, he does have to leave today to, I think, right? You are going to leave. He has to leave. As many of you know from watching the news, one of our pilots went down. And there's sadness and sorrow upon our base. And Pastor Steve, or should I say Chaplain Mazarski, is going to be driving back for memorial service for one of our pilots. And I want to ask you, you might believe in the military, you may not. But I know that every man who serves and every woman who serves, they serve because they want to.
That's right.
And they're here to provide the protection and security for us as a nation. And we're willing to do that and lay our life down just like Jesus Christ laid his down for us. So I want you to remember our unit and the family of our fallen pilot today as you go home and finish up the Patriots game. So I want you to know that Life Church started, you know, in the hearts 14 months ago, and here we are today. Right? And I want to share a little bit just about what our vision is. What has God called us to do? And if you notice over here on our screen here, we'll put our vision up. Our vision statement is this, church. It is to see salvation, health, and support brought to families and the community by sharing the truth of Jesus as real people through real relationships, fostering life-changing growth. And here's the key to that, right? The key is that we're real people, right? We're not trying to stand before you and put on some facade, some pharisaical robe and stand up here and say that we're better than you, because we're not. We are all real people on a journey together. That's why the name of the church is called Life Church, because we're doing life together. We're walking down this road step by step by step in a world that's filled with sin. Look around at everything that's going on in our world today. Look at what's happening on the other side of our world. Look at what's happening with the Christians who are being persecuted right now for their faith. So there is sin in this world. And we struggle sometimes in this world. There's disease in this world. There is bondage in this world. And if the enemy, the devil, Satan, as we would say, can get a hold of you, he will try to hold you captive in your life in some way. But Jesus Christ has come to set us free so that we don't have to live in that bondage anymore. He has delivered us so that we can walk freely in this world by the joy that he has given us through his son, Jesus Christ, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Say amen. Some of you do. Some of you say, well, I'm not sure what all that means. Come back the next several weeks and we're going to talk about it more. Well, how do we do this? How do we see this vision statement come to fruition? Four basic fundamental ideas, through relationship. That's why when we take our offering up here, I'm not going to preach a message. Once or twice a year, I'll share what it means to give. God wants us to give not only of our money, but He wants us to give of our time. He wants us to give of ourself. Because He gave Himself to us freely. See, Jesus knew what was about to happen to Him. He knew as He was praying in that garden that some of the greatest pain was going to come upon Him. And He prayed and said, Lord, if this cup could pass, but not my will, but your will. So He knew that, and He so unselfishly gave. We're going to spend time in relationship with each other, relationship with the school, relationship with the community, relationship with Webster, relationship with other churches, so that we can see the love of Jesus Christ be shared. We're going to speak the truth. When I stand up here and preach the message, it's going to be the truth about what God's Word says and nothing else. I'm not here to make up a doctrine. I don't have to. It was already created when Jesus Christ walked upon the face of the earth. So we're not here to come up with a new doctrine. We don't have some catch line. We don't have some crazy idea that's going to draw people here because they're doing something funny over there. We're going to walk and live out the truth of who Jesus Christ is and the words that He told us to live by. It's here. It's right here. And if you ever find yourself at a place where I just don't know what to do, pull out the Bible and begin to read the words of Jesus Christ. He'll begin to show you how you can make it through that difficult time in your life. And when we begin to do that together and individually, we begin to grow. We believe in growth. Spiritual growth. I am not concerned that we get numbers of people to come and be part of the church. That's not my focus. As a pastor, God will send those and the Holy Spirit will draw them in and they will hear the truth of Jesus Christ. They'll begin to grow and they'll tell somebody else. God's going to work in their life. They're going to tell somebody else. They're going to come. They're going to give their heart to Jesus Christ. He's going to begin to work in their life. And they're going to begin to live the joy that God wants them to live here on this earth. And then we're going to take that we've learned. We're going to take that growth. And we're going to walk out those doors and we're going into that community and we're going to serve. Because there are hurting people in this world. And they need someone to walk out there alongside them and say, I see that you're hurting. I know that you're hurting. What can I do to help? That doesn't mean that we're going to go out there and stand on a soapbox and start proclaiming that the end of time has come, right, to give your life to Jesus Christ now. We're going to go out there and serve. And as we serve those who have a need, and those of you who were here last week in our pre-launch service, we talked about being a servant. A servant sees a need and goes and meets that need. And we're going to go and we're going to find the needs within the community. We're going to begin to meet those needs. We're not even going to tell them who we are. We're not going to mention Life Church at all. Because they're going to turn around, they're going to ask you, why are you doing this? And we're going to say, because we love you. But why do you love me? Because God loves me. You see, Jesus Christ, He washed the feet of His disciples. And when they were sitting there, they said, hey, I'm not worthy for you to wash my feet. Jesus says, no. I want to serve you. So if we want to be like Jesus, if we want to call ourselves a Christian, whether Protestant or Catholic, it doesn't matter. We all love Jesus Christ. Then we're here to serve. Amen? So now that journey has got us here through much prayer and fasting, and a team was assembled. A core team, we called it, was assembled. These were families that came and said, Pastor Shannon and Pastor Brian, we want to serve. We want to be part of what God is doing. Count us in. We have four couples come around us and say yes and begin to pray. And those four couples now are actually leading the ministries here at the church. And God's beginning to bless them. We've already added two more to that core team of leadership. If you have kids who are teenagers, who are youth, We just added a youth minister. Desmond, where are you at? There he is right there. Desmond, why don't you stand up and let everybody see you. Amen. Thank you, brother. Desmond and Christy. They said, hey, we love the youth. We love the teenagers. This man right here knows what it's like to go through difficult times. He says, I want to love on those youth. I want to share Jesus Christ. I want to get into their lives and see what's going on. Can I walk with them? I said, amen. Let's do it. Let's do it together. So here we are. Here we are. Day one. Today's launch day of Life Church. And now I'm ready to preach to you. You ready? That was my introduction. When we're finished here today, I got 15 minutes. I told you that'd be awesome, right? 15 minutes. When we're finished here today, we're dismissed. Pastor Bob's going to come at the end and he's going to pray over this service and dismiss us. If you're here, you're our guest. You're not part of Life Church. Has made that your home church. Look, I want you to go out to the foyer. We've got some goodies out there. What we got out there? We got some pastries and fruit, all kind of great stuff out there, right? So our Life Church family is going to let you go. Grab you a little snack. Before you go, if you have kids in our kids ministry, please go check them out. Because I know, right? I know me and Pastor Steve, we get to talking now. We'll forget about everything else. All right? Go check your kids out and come out and be part of that. Just spend some time. Get to know someone and build a fellowship. So as I said, our theme is called Growing Together. And what we're going to do over the next 8 weeks is we're going to look at, as I said earlier, learning to be a Christian means learning to do what Jesus told us to do. And Jesus had this wonderful way of expressing the truth to those who were listening. They were called parables. How many of you know what a parable is? Right? Let me read you something here about parables. In Matthew chapter 13 in the New Testament, if you have a Bible, you feel free to look. If not, I think some of our scriptures will be up there. Some of them won't. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Our ushers will bring you one and you can look on. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version of God's Word. But Matthew verse 13, chapter 34 and 35 says this. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill the spoken words of the prophet Isaiah. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundations of the world. So what is a parable? Here's some comments about a parable. A parable is a word picture that is used as an image or a story to illustrate a truth or a lesson. It creates this mini drama. It creates a picture language that describes the reality of what is being illustrated. It shows a likeness between the image and the illustration and the object being portrayed. It defines the unknown by telling about the known. So for this series, I like to call it this. They're earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. See, Jesus used these word pictures called parables to help the people understand who he was, and to understand about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus used images and characters about everyday life, right? How many of us tell stories all the time? Right? I love to tell a story. Our elder, we got one elder in the church today. We got one elder and one deacon. That's all First Assembly would give us. Hey, we'll give you the whole worship team, but you only get one elder and one deacon. He loves telling stories. So if you're out there and you see Bill, there he is right there. He'll be more than happy to tell you a story. Jesus' stories appeal to the young, the old, the poor, the rich, the learned, the unlearned. These were word pictures that would challenge the mind to discover something new about God and would move the heart. See, I believe the parables that Jesus taught were there to move their heart. So think of it this way. As he would begin to tell these stories to the crowds and to his disciples, the disciples would come and ask, what did that mean? He'd begin to explain it. You see, Jesus, as he taught, he would teach, and all of a sudden in his ministry, he began to sort of shift and begin to use more parables. Because what happened was, as the crowds began to gather around him, they were following him everywhere. You see, Jesus, when his ministry began and he called his disciples, he would go from village to town to town. And it said compassion was upon his heart. And because he was the Son of God, he would go and he would heal those who were sick. So think about that for a minute. Someone here is sick, and all of a sudden they are healed in our midst. Would you not begin to talk about it? Oh, yeah, I think so. Maybe not. Patriots are playing today. I'd wait. No, of course you would. If something miraculous happened, look at the world today. Anytime something miraculous happens in the world we live in, the word gets out. You're going to go tell somebody. So these folks begin to tell what Jesus was doing, and the crowds begin to follow him from one place to the next. And he began to speak to them in parables and stories, because here's what he wanted to do. He wanted the people to hear and understand with their heart, not just their mind. So he would tell them stories that were relatable to their time, that were relevant to where they were, how they lived, the geography of the area. And they would begin to understand more and more as their heart began to accept Jesus Christ as who he was. Some of us sometimes, I know I did as a young Christian, begin to read the Bible. I had no clue what was going on. I don't understand that. What's that mean? You know, he put his foot in the water and it turned into wine. Wow, I could do that. Man, I could make some money. What'd that mean, right? But the more that I began to understand who I was in Jesus Christ, the more his word became alive. And I began to apply it to my life. And there's story after story after story how God has just worked within my life, within my family. I'll be happy to tell those stories sometimes, just not today. As a matter of fact, parables were also used in the Old Testament. Now, to get that point across about the heart of the matter, God speaking to our hearts, let me tell you a story. In the book of 2 Samuel, King David, how many of you know about King David? If you don't, let me give you just a brief lesson real quick. He was the king of Israel. The one who was anointed to be king, and he ruled over all of Israel. It says one day as he was ruling, he was in his palace. It said, Nathan, the prophet. How many of you know what a prophet is? A prophet in the Old Testament was a man who would go and speak to God. God would speak the truth to him. He would take that truth and he'd go and he'd share it with the king or he'd share it with the people. That's how God would speak in those days through the prophets. So the prophet Nathan, he came to David. He says, David, let me tell you a story. In a city, there were two men, a rich man and a poor man. The rich man had many flocks of sheep and goats and whatever animals they had. Many, many, many. And the poor man, he had one little lamb, a little ewe. And this poor man loved this little lamb. He got it when it was a baby. He would feed it from his hands. It would come to the table. It was like part of the family. He would sleep with it at night. He loved it. His family loved this one little lamb. And one day this rich man had a family and visitors coming into his town to visit. And the rich man, instead of taking one of the sheep from his flock of thousands, he goes over, he takes the one little lamb from the poor man, and he takes it and creates the meal and slaughters the one little lamb to feed his friends. Well, when David heard this story, he said, what do you mean that happened? It says he was filled with anger. He said, how dare that man take that one little lamb when he has many? That man needs to give back fourfold what he's stolen. He needs to be kicked out of the city. He deserves to die. Nathan looked at David and says, that man is you. And right away, he was reminded of the sin that he had committed. And it says he fell down and repented and asked forgiveness of his sin. So what happened in that story was, the prophet could have come to the king, David, and he could have said, look, you did this wrong, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. Now, David might have been filled with pride at the moment. And he might have said, well, tell me what I did. I justify what happened. Or he could have killed the prophet. Who knows, right? Who knows what would have happened? But by the Holy Spirit working through the prophet, he was able to penetrate into the heart of the king. And see, what happened at that moment was the king David turned around and gave his own judgment in the story. Because, see, that story appealed to his heart. See, that's what parables are about. That's what Jesus was trying to do as he began to teach these parables, was he wanted to get past their intellectual thinking about the message that he was giving, because there were mysteries about the kingdom of heaven that he was trying to get across. So he began to speak in parables. So those who had the heart to understand began to understand. But those who did not, he didn't. And that's what this verse in Matthew says. So now Jesus has moved, right, from town to town to town. And we're going to look at one of those parables today. It's the parable of two builders. Let me read this verse for you. It's found in Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. And this is what Jesus says. He's actually talking to his disciples at this moment, but the crowds have gathered around and they're listening too. Now, when you think about Jesus and his 12 disciples, how he would walk along, if you've seen the movies, he's walking along there, and he's got the 12 that are walking with him. Listen, there were more than just 12. When they saw the miracles happen, people begin to come, and they begin to follow him and listen to his teachings. He says this, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. Very similar to the rich man and the poor man, right? We have two contrasting people here. It says, and the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let me paint you the picture of what's happening right here. You see, Jesus had moved from one town to the next. Now he's in the town of Bethsaida. It's on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, which is in the northern part of Israel today. And he began to teach this awesome sermon. If you want to know what a great sermon is supposed to be like, go back and read Matthew chapter 5 and 6. Because this is what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Let me tell you about the stuff he's talking about in this sermon. He said he gathered around upon a hill and the multitudes gathered all over. And he began to preach and teach and share this sermon. Let me tell you some of the topics that he was talking about. The Beatitudes. How many of you know Beatitudes? Blessed is the one. Blessed is the poor. Right? Because you're going to get some homework, by the way. So take notes. He talked about anger. How to deal with anger. He talked about lust. He talked about divorce. He talked about oaths. He talked about retaliation. He talked about loving your enemies. Come on now. How are you going to love your enemy? How in the world am I going to love somebody that don't like me? Well, Jesus said you got to do it. So we better look into that a little bit later and find out how that's done, right? He taught them to pray. He taught how to take care of the needy. He talked about fasting. He talked about many, many things. So this great sermon had been preached and the multitudes were there. And all of a sudden he steps away and turns to his disciples and says, I need to tell you something. Here's the backdrop of this story about these two houses. If you go and look at the Sea of Galilee, when the waters sort of recede back and you see the beaches and the area around it, there's sand that's there, but the sand is hard. It's called alluvial sand. I mean, it is so hard, you can't even hardly dig into it. So as he tells this story about building your house, he says there was a man who went and dug through this hard, hard sand down to the bedrock so that he built his house down on the rock below the sand. The foolish man goes over and builds his house. He says, well, I'm not going to take all the time to start digging. That's a lot of work. I want to put my house up now. I got friends coming in town. I got family flying in next week. I got to put some paint on this house now. I'm just saying that because that's what happens at my house. Paint's got to go up. New curtains. Come on, Pastor Gene. Right? So he said he just built his house right on top. Right on top of that hard, hard sand. What happens is, as the winter comes and the floods begin to roll in to the Sea of Galilee off the Jordan, it says that sand becomes loose. It loosens up and begins to move. And then when the winds blow and the rains fall, even though that house was pretty, Latonya, that was a pretty house, right? Even though that house was pretty, it said it fell and great was the fall of it. How does this relate to what he's saying here? He says, it's like this. When you hear the words preached and you hear the truth, make sure you got your foundation planted upon the rock. So basically he's saying, when you hear the words I preach, be obedient to them. Because the one who's disobedient, great is his fall. The reason we talk about that today is because as we go forward the next 8 weeks, we're going to look at the parables of Jesus. Because if you want to know what it means to live a Christian life, look at how Jesus told us to live it. And we're going to take those parables and we're going to begin to look at them and we'll explore the truth of what Jesus was trying to tell the multitudes and the disciples. That's what he's trying to tell you and me today. He's telling us the exact same thing, because you know why? God's word doesn't change. His truths were the same when he spoke them as they are today. They're the same today as they were. We know that famous scripture, right? It says he's the same yesterday, today, and he will not change tomorrow. He'll be the same. So Jesus was saying, I want you, as you hear the words of the truth, to be obedient to what I'm telling you. To place your foundation upon the rock. And we know that Jesus Christ is a symbol of the rock. He is the rock of the foundation that we build our truths upon. Can someone say amen to that? All right. So here's your challenge. Here's your homework. I want you to go back. I want you to read Matthew chapter 6 and chapter 7, chapter 5 and 6. I want you to read that sermon, that beautiful sermon that Jesus preached to the multitudes and to his disciples that were there. And I want you to pray and say, Lord, I plant my feet of understanding upon the rock so that these truths will penetrate into my heart. And when you get to the part that says, love your enemies, that one's going to hurt a little bit. right? Because someone has done you wrong. Someone has probably mistreated you in some way. And Jesus says you have to love them. Now, he didn't say you got to go hang out with them on Friday and Saturday, right? He didn't say that. But you got to love them and you got to forgive them. So that's our challenge today. My challenge to you today as we begin to explore further these parables that Jesus taught and begin to see the truths is to read the Sermon on the Mount and begin to let God's Spirit speak to you about those truths. Because I promise you, church, as you begin to live those out, they may seem hard. They may seem difficult. But the joy and the peace and the mercy He has for us will begin to penetrate into your heart. And you begin to live the way Christ wants us to live. And you will find joy like you have never found before. Right? So we worship God, right? We clap our hands. Oh, some crazy stuff going on. We got our hands lifted up, right? I guarantee you, all of you who are Patriots fan, when you leave here today, you're going to go home, pop that popcorn, get those wings out, right? And the Patriots score, you're going to be, yeah, come on! Right? I know I am. And when the Saints do the same thing, I'm going to do that too. Amen. And that's the word that God has for us today. I'm going to ask Pastor Bob if he would come. Just share a little of his heart and just pray. When he does, he's going to dismiss us. When you're dismissed today, make sure you get your children and go out and spend some time in fellowship. If you're here today and say, hey, I need prayer. I need someone to pray for me. I'm going to be here. Pastor Gene will be here. I don't know if Pastor Steve, if you can hang around too. Pastor Bob will be here. And you can come up and we'll be more than happy just to pray for you and whatever's going on in your life and believe that God will allow His will to be done in your life. Amen. Pastor Bob.
It's a joy for Jane and I to be with you today. We have been working with this city for several years. And the spirit of death has been upon this area. We've watched horrific things happen in regards to church people. And a lot of that's the devil. A lot of it's flesh. The scripture that is home to this truth of your name, Jesus said in John 10, I've come that you might have life. Not death, life. Everlasting life. Life to the max, one translation says. And Life Church, I pray that you will be life to this community. Pastor said, we're not here to tell them about the church, meaning the name and what have you. True, because no church can give you life. We're here to tell them about Him. There's only one way to have life, and it's through the author and the finisher of life, Jesus Christ. And it's not a religion, it is indeed a relationship. I thank Pastor Brian, I thank First Assembly. Our hearts were broke. We have sold the parsonage. We have another parsonage and a building to sell that we're working on. Some of that money we want to be able to give here. The thousands of dollars in debt because of mistakes. You have come with Pastor Shannon, his wife and family, that they might have life. Amen. Love this community. Give your heart to them. They will respond. They will. I'm so glad. Pastor, come on up here and help me pray for this son in the faith that you have. I thank God for you. It takes fathers in the faith to bring in sons in the faith and daughters. Thank you, Pastor, for being here. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. I thank you for First Assembly, and I thank you for Pastor Brian. And I thank you, Lord, for months before that, reaching down into Mississippi and calling this 6'5" man of God to come to the Northeast and be a part of the mission field of America. I thank you for his pastor who has watched over him and prayed and called his name into the courtroom of heaven so many times. We bless this family. We bless this church in the name of Christ. May Life Church live up to its name. May it bring life wherever the people of this assembly go, in every street, in every store, in every business, God. We ask that the life of Christ flow through every member here, and that Jesus Christ would be lifted up in Webster. Take away the stench of death, take away the memory of the past in that sense, and bring forth, as you said to Isaiah, I'm about to do a new thing. Let this new thing bring rivers of life. We pray it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Amen. Well, let's just stand together. This concludes the service today. I want you to go in peace. And like I said, please go check your kids out of the children's ministry. And go out and have a refreshment and share some time with each other. Meet someone you don't know. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful one.